You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Almost 500 pilot whales stranded on the beach of the Chatham Islands yesterday and Friday in two separate mass stranding incidents just days apart. Many of the whales could not be refloated due to the active shark risk to the animals and the rescuers in the region. For more on these two mass strandings and whether it's a common occurrence, I spoke to Professor Karen Stockin, a marine ecologist at Massey University.
Yeah, the Chatham Islands is known as a New Zealand hotspot for mass strandings of pilot whales. It's one of those areas which historically has got a long history, right? You know, actually one of the biggest in history, not just New Zealand, but globally, was on the Chatham Islands in 1918, and that was over 1,000 pilot whales. Historically, more recently in a history sense, we believe that this area was important, but maybe of less intensity compared to places like Stewart Island or Golden Bay. And that was published work from a colleague of mine at Massey University back in 2020. And that was looking at data up until about 2017. It would seem, however, what we're seeing in Chathams at the moment is a reverse of that, though, and we're starting to see Chathams now popping up more regularly, and likewise Tasmania is also experiencing similar trends. You'll notice that whenever Chathams has had strandings in recent weeks or years, it's not been that far out that Tasmania has experienced similar events as well. So we're kind of interested by that, definitely.
With this stranding, they actually couldn't refloat a lot of the whales due to the risk of shark attacks to both the rescuers and the whales. Is this a conservation issue?
In the strictest of sense, you could say no, because the reality of it is pilot whales are thought to be as species which are not threatened in New Zealand. And I say supposed to be. We honestly don't know. In all honesty, really, probably pilot whales should be listed into the New Zealand threat classification as data deficient, like common dolphins and other species for which we do not have population estimates. But the assumption, of course, is that they are numerous, and they must be numerous because of the sheer volume that we see when they strand, which of course is, you know, to some extent there is an element of logic there that makes a lot of sense. But by the same token, the reality is it's more of an issue for us to consider when we do lose these large amounts. I mean, that's a lot of biodiversity to lose in one go, up to, you know, 500 animals over two events in a couple of days. That is quite a loss to a population. And you would have to ask the question, how big is the overall population to sustain that amount of losses? Now, I don't think that means we're in any immediate panic about, you know, the threat status of pilot whales. What we are suggesting, though, is it really does show the need for broader understanding of population estimates and ecology for a species that, quite frankly, remains poorly understood in New Zealand.
Whale strandings are still quite not well understood by research and people. There's still an element of mystery here. How much would human interference play a part in events like this?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. You know, we often get asked the question, why do whales strand and is it human-induced? And the first thing I'm always very quick to say is, first of all, why whales strand first depends upon what type of stranding it is. A mass stranding versus an unusual mortality event versus a single stranding event are all very different. If an animal singularly strands, typically we're often looking at what may have induced that, caused that. Is it age? Is it debilitation? Is it injury, sickness? Or is it some kind of human impact, a boat strike or some other level of entanglement or something that could be human-induced? Just because usually if you've got a single animal stranding, there's usually some level of reason, biological, i.e. its age or its disease status or something, or human-made, man-made. Mass strandings are quite different because the reality of it is it's not like when mass strandings occur and 250 whales turn up on a beach, they're all dying or they're all debilitated or they're all injured. And a mass stranding is a species of known expectation in a known area. In other words, not uncommon. You'd expect pilot whales in New Zealand at Farewell Spit at Chatham's, at Stewart Island, possibly Coromandel, possibly Northland. These are areas that are well known for this species to strand.
Mm.
So the chances are it's more naturally occurring. It's something that's happened for decades. In fact, it has. If you look at a New Zealand strandings database, dates back to 1800s, those areas feature highly for that species. But when you think about unusual species that are stranding in regions you would not expect, which we call unusual mortality events, that's when we start to ask questions about, are there other factors or influences here that may not be natural, i.e. human-induced? Is there an element of noise? Is there an element of disturbance? Is there something we're missing in a pollution context? There's all these things that do get asked. So the answer really comes down to, what type of species is it? Where is it stranded? Is that typical for that region and that time of year, or that, you know, even that ecotype to be in those waters?
Mm.
And then based on that, you've got more clarity about whether or not you'd look for human versus natural induced rationale for why the animals are stranded.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.